Okay, we've been doing the reading exercises at the beginning of lesson 4. Now we're on page 46. I think I did, we're in section 3. I think I did the first 3 verses. Is that correct? The first 3? Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Okay, the next are actually quite simple. They're all follow the same model. Piyato jayati soko. Piyato jayati bhayam. Piyato vipa mutasa. Nati soko kuto bhayam. Okay, this form, piyato, this is an ablative type. It's a special kind of ablative. It's not the normal ablative that comes from declension. And pia means what is dear, what is beloved, or to say a pleasant thing. Okay. And jayati means is born. And you see a jayati, that last I, it's lengthened. That's just to fit the meter. It doesn't mean that there's some irregularity in the conjugation, in that conjugation. And the subject is soko, which means sorrow. So from what is dear, what is beloved, sorrow is born. The next sentence, the same, except the subject is bhayam, which means fear. From what is dear, fear is born. Then piyato vipamutasa. Vipamutasa means one who is completely free. The root here, or the basic form, is mutta. Mutta means free, and it has two prefixes, which just intensify the meaning. The root is moot. From the root mooch, we get a regular verb, moochity, which means to be free. And we get a causative form also that we meet fairly often in the text, mocheti, which means to set free, to liberate. And from mucati, the past participle is mucha, which means free. And sometimes we get vimucha, which is like liberated. And also from this we get a noun. Actually, we see muti, which means freedom. But more often, very often, we have the intensified vimutti, which means liberation. Occasionally, we have prefix pramutti, pramutta. Also, it means free. And here we have v plus pra plus mutta. And when the v and the p meet, it turns into a double T. Vipramutta, one who is completely free, completely liberated. V and P, they are prefixes. I think maybe once we finish this, I'll give you some explanation of prefixes. I don't think the book has a section on them. Yeah. That's a single C. You see, the root is moot. Now, what would happen in Sanskrit, that this is a kind of class of verbs which are somewhat passive in sense. So it would form its present indicative, mucyate.
And that class, that passive class of verbs, takes it forms the stem by adding a Y. This you don't really have to make notes on, but this will just explain why the C is doubled here. Okay, what happens in Pali, you don't get a combination of C and Y. The sound is, in, because Pali is based on colloquial languages in which these sort of clashing consonants become assimilated, so they form a double C. And then in Pali, we don't get these verbs, at least in ordinary Pali prose, the verbs ending in E, but it ends in I. But the causative form is created simply from the root. What you do, you take the root, you strengthen it by to become strengthened. A U turns into an O, an I will turn into, usually into an E. So in this case, the U of the root, when it's strengthened, it becomes, to make the causative, it turns into M-O-C, most. And then the special stem particle of the causative form is either E or sometimes A-Y-A. And then you have the regular ending here, Mochesi. Yeah, in Sanskrit, you would have, where we have Vimuti here, you would have Vimukti. Again, what happens in Pali, combinations of hard consonants, different consonants get assimilated, so the K turns into a C. Then we have the famous Moksha, meaning liberation, is from the same root. In Buddhism, the word moksha, or mocha, not used very often, but usually vimoksha, or vimoka in Pali. Okay, so for one liberated from what is dear, nati soko, there is no sorrow. Kuto bayang, kuto means whence, from where, or how can there be fear? Okay, the next four verses, 1, 2, 3, 4, just follow the same pattern. Paimato jayati soko. Paimato jayati bayang. Paima means affection. So from affection arises sorrow, from affection arises fear. For one freed from affection, there is no sorrow. How then fear? Next, the only word that's changed, or the new word, is rati. Rati means enjoyment, delight, taking pleasure, finding pleasure. Then the next verse, the only different word is, in this verse, rati, this uses the ordinary ablative, ratiya, rather than ratito. Attachment, not so good, I would say. Even love, not so good either. No, I should have recommended a change. More delight, attachment. Delight, enjoyment.
Delight means intent.
Where is that? Yeah, 61. Rata, there they have, rata is the past participle form based on that same noun, delighting in, intent on, devoted to, attached to. But also rati, it's sometimes used in a positive sense also. In some places it's used as synonymous with the negative type of
enjoyment or delight, delight in worldly things, but there's also Dhamma Rati, delight in Dhamma, and delight in, say, the higher virtue, the higher mind, the higher wisdom. So it can also have a positive sense. Ratta is past participle. Actually, it would be, delighted in would be more accurate. But the way it's used, it doesn't really have such a past sense. So it's a past participle. That's the grammatical form. When you say somebody... Anyway, that comes in a later lesson. When we get to it, we'll see how it's used. Okay, so the only difference here, Rati. The next verse, the only difference is the use of the word kama. Kama is sensual desire. Kama means both objective sensual pleasures, the outer objects of enjoyment, sensual enjoyment, and also the internal sensual desire, subjective sensual desire. And then the next verse, the only difference is that tanha is used. Tanha means craving. In the Second Noble Truth, this is the word that's used when the Buddha describes the cause of suffering is craving. And the question might be raised, why in some verses the form to is used for ablative? Piyato, paimato, kamato. In two of them, the normal ablative form is used, ratiya and tanhaya. I think the reason is that piya, pema, and kama have the masculine ending, the short A. And so to form the ablative from that, it's easy just to put the toe on. But rati and tanha have their feminine, and rati toe, I don't know if you would ever get that, rati toe, I think. It would just be more natural to form the ablative just by declining it to ratiya. Tanha. I think the toe form, maybe it's only added onto the short A. I'm not sure if that's a rule, but the cases that come to mind, it's always attached onto a short A, not onto other noun endings. I'm sorry, it could be, Pema, Pia, Kamo. The glossary here gives both masculine and neuter. Pema, it doesn't matter whether it's neuter or masculine. The point is that the toe ending goes onto the short A. It doesn't come onto an I or to a U. I don't think so. The toe will only come onto a singular. But it's a special suffix which has an ablative meaning. But it's not derived from the declension the way piyasma would be. And that toe ending is used with another function as well. But I won't explain that till we come to it. Otherwise, we get too much explanation. Okay, now we can move on to the further reading. And this time, I stay quiet. I keep quiet, and you have to do the explanation. So let us begin first with Bhikkhu Jihan. This is page 56.
O monk,
why don't you read the Pali also?
Dema Isare Parisa.
Yeah.
There are two assemblies.
Yeah. Actually, it's Dvema. You see the Ma there?
Yes.
You know what the Ma
means?
Dvema is actually Ima. Right. It's Dve plus Ima.
So
these
are.
Yeah. Yeah, or I would say there are, O monks, these two assemblies. Katama.
Katama. What are these two?
Gambiracha.
Gambiracha. Paritha.
Right.
There is the shallow assembly and the deep assembly.
Right. Go on, do another. Do some more.
Katama cha bhikkhave uttana paritha.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether to say that the intent is a cha. And what is a shallow assembly?
The shallow assembly.
Ida bhikkhave yattam parisayam.
Parisayam. It's a long.
Bhikkhu uda udatha. Kunti unala.
Chapala.
Mukara.
Navacha. Vikina vacha. Why don't you do the pronunciation?
Well, usually you don't have to have other people do it, so I figured I didn't have to do it. I gladly do it.
Okay.
Asam Pajana. Asamasita. Iban Pachita. Pakat Indriya. Ayam Bhuchati. Ayam Bhuchati. Bhikkhave Uttana.
Right.
So, here, O monks, a group in which the agitated monks with wandering mind, of uncontrolled mind, are, and then go to arrogant, vain, lazy, of loose heart, not mindful, not collected.
It would be good if you. Having a little trouble correlating.
Okay. Ida means here.
Obiku.
And Yatang Parisayam. So, Bhikkhu is actually the subject.
Or
Parisayam.
I'm sorry. Bhikkhu is the subject, right?
Bhikkhu is the subject. And then the Udata is agitated Bhikkhu. It's actually modifying the bhikkhu.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, onti is are.
Yeah, the verb.
The verb.
They are, yeah.
The adjective that follows is arrogant, vain, noisy, of loose talk.
Right.
Right. And then it follows and then goes on to not mindful.
Does the book give not mindful for us something? Right. Let me just see. Well, it gives thoughtful, mindful, attentive, deliberate. I think, you see, mindful is somewhat misleading there because sampajano is often joined with another word, sutto. We often have sutto sampajano. Here, sutto is what I would translate mindful.
Sutto, this is the adjective related to the noun sati, which means, was usually translated mindfulness, whereas sampajano is the adjective giving us the noun sampajanya, which is often translated clear comprehension. And so we have these two faculties of mental functions that go together, mindfulness and clear comprehension.
Satima is another adjective form based on sati. It's
the noun sati plus an ending, the suffix ma, which makes something an adjective, one who possesses mindfulness. Sati ma and sato are just the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Not clearly comprehending.
Not clearly comprehending.
Yeah.
Not corrected?
Yeah. Samahita is, this is again, this is the adjective related to the noun samadhi.
The root is da, which means to place, to put. Plus it has these two prefixes, and this will give us the simple verb samadhiyati, which means to, well, you take the root and the prefixes. Sam means together. Ah, it doesn't really have a very clear meaning. So you just put, you put all of these together, and the sense is that of putting together. Bringing together. And so the verb samadhiyati is literally to bring together. So what one brings together is the mind. So the mind becomes concentrated or collected. We often come across in the suttas, we have the phrase cittam samadhiyati. And when the mind is collected, then the mind reaches a state which we would say samahita. Da is the past participle, somewhat irregular one, hita. And so the past participle of samadhiyati is samahita. And the person with a collected or concentrated mind is one who is said to be samahita citta. And the state of a person with a collected mind is samadhi.
No, no. Sometimes it just has a strengthening effect. Sometimes it means movement in the opposite direction. You can't rely on any fixed rules. You just have to know how the word is used. Okay, so the bhikkhus are...
Now, when I was looking at this sentence,
yeah.
I felt that the Vibhang Sachita,
yeah.
Is wandering mind.
Yeah.
And then Apat
Indriya. Pakat Indriya, yeah.
Indriya of uncontrolled mind is it's modifying the bhikkhu.
Yeah.
Those monks.
Yeah.
Now, so rather than leaving it way in the end.
Yeah.
I put it in the front.
Well, that.
Or is it, it was just okay to just leave it.
I suggest following the order of the text, especially for this purpose, to make it easy to follow for everybody to follow. Mm-hmm. Don't try to reshuffle the word order.
So then, if I don't reshuffle, then it's the translation reads like, here, O monk, a group in which the monks are...
An assembly. Let's keep, because you started with the word assembly.
Yeah. An assembly in which the monks are arrogant, vain, noisy, of loose talk,
yeah.
Not clearly comprehending, not concentrated or not collected,
yeah.
With wandering mind,
yeah.
Off uncontrolled mind.
Yeah, it seems one adjective seems to have dropped out in your rendering. Did you
agitated, right.
Okay, so.
Agitated first and then arrogant, vain, noisy.
Yeah. Yeah. Honti. Honti is a verb which means are, they are. Okay, but I see now that the book breaks up this, what should be one sentence, and they put it as two. I would not put a period after pakatindriya, but I would put a comma. Then I would say ayang vuchati. The ayang I would put with a lowercase. Because you see, yasang parisayang means the yasang is which case? What case is it? Locative case. And what particular form is it? It's feminine singular, but what I mean, the yasang, the word yasang. Exactly. It's a relative pronoun. So as a relative pronoun, it needs a demonstrative pronoun to link up with. So that demonstrative pronoun, it has to be in the same sentence. And that demonstrative pronoun is ayang. So here, O monks, in whichever assembly the monks are udata. What meaning they give to udata? Agitated, okay. And unala, proud, chapala. Let's see what meaning they give. Yeah, unsteady, fickle or vain. Mukara, of loose talk. Vikina vacha. Vacha is speech. Vikina means scattered. So you could say extremely talkative. Asampajana, without clear comprehension. Asamahita, uncomposed. Vibhantachitta, wandering minds. And I don't like, say, for pakatindriya, they put of uncontrolled mind. Didn't I give you alternatives to these already? No? Oh, I should have done that last week then, or even 2 weeks ago. I didn't change that one. I would say of uncontrolled faculties. Did I? That's what I should have done. I didn't give you what? Pakatindriya is... you could say undisciplined or uncontrolled. Pakata means actually, literally, it's natural. It's natural or crude, even crude. Untrained. And it means that they're not controlling their sense faculties. They want to, anything they want to look at, they look at. Anything they want to listen, they listen to. When they eat, they enjoy the taste of the food. They're not controlled and self-restrained and restrained. Okay, so in which assembly there are monks who fit that description? This is called, O monks, the shallow assembly. Okay, next. No, not at all. They don't have to be. Well, you see that there, first you see that there's a relative pronoun and a demonstrative pronoun, so you know that they're together. And then if you get the sense, you understand the meaning of the sentence, and then you see that they have to be joined. Yeah. No, ayan can be either masculine or feminine. Look at the table. I think it's in the previous chapter. Yeah, both masculine and feminine are ayang. The demonstrative has to be of the same gender as the relative. No, definitely not. Okay, shall we go on to the next one? Gambira Parisa. Sharon, you want to try that? Yeah. Parisa. Parisa. Right. Right. Ida. Yeah. Anunala. Yeah. Achapala. Yeah, the C in Pali, it's always pronounced like CH. Yeah. Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Very good. Okay, very good. But let's make it one sentence. Continue on to the next verses. I am. That's all one sentence. Yeah. 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 Harisa. Yeah. 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 Very, very good. Yeah. Very good pronunciation. Now I expect you to say in Chinese class. You have very good pronunciation. Yeah. Yeah. Or in which, right. No, the bhikkhu here isn't O monk. Right, yeah. 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 They're not on study. Yeah. Amukara. No, no. No, no. It has to do with speech with the mouth. It's just the opposite of mukara. Yeah, so they're not noisy, not talkative. Yeah. Not the blues talk. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, or they have clear comprehension, clear. And yeah. Right. Controlled sense faculties. Yeah. Right. And then just finish it off with the next sentence. But amongst these are the two assemblies. No, that's finished. Now you finish. Okay, that's very good. Very good translation. Okay. Next passage. Francis isn't here. Whole way, the two assemblies. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me? Yeah. And, yeah. 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 Bhaga means, you say, divided into groups. In other words, groups which are dissentious. Yeah, that's a good word. But maybe it's a little strong at this point. But vaga means, the original sense is a group. So a chapter in a book, or at least a collection, in the, say in the Sutta Pitaka, the individual chapters, which are made up usually of 10 suttas, a collection of 10 suttas is called a vaga. So when the assembly is broken up into groups of people who are fighting with each other, contentious, that's called a, how do they render it? But they give dissociated, the meaning isn't so clear. Dissentious maybe is better. Say again. Harmonious is good, yeah. Yeah. I think I have written in to my book, I wrote harmonious in. Didn't I read my changes in the vocabulary for this? I didn't, maybe I added some others later. Then I will give you these. Okay, so let's say dissentious and harmonious assemblies. There is another word. I mean, there are several synonyms for it, but let's use harmonious for this and then see what the other word is that we come across. Okay, continue, Bowie. The next passage. Yeah. 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 Yeah, read the words and translate them. Yeah. 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 Yeah, let us say in which assembly the monks are, say, bandhanajata, contentious maybe we could say, kalhajata, quarrelsome, vivadapanna, disputing, disputatious. Yeah. Viharanti means they what? Just they're living or dwelling. So the sense is, here, O monks, in which assembly the monks are dwelling, contentious, quarrelsome, and fall into dispute. Then we have to read it as one sentence. Continue. Vuchati. Yeah. Right. Okay, next passage. Georgette can take. Yeah, or harmonious or something. Parisayan. Yeah. Vuchati. Yeah. Very good. Then might as well complete it with the one last sentence. Okay, next passage. Hui Zhong. No, we start with Ve Ma Bhikkhave. You see? Third paragraph on the page. There are, O monks, these two assemblies. Right. Visama ch. The C is pronounced ch. Yeah. Right. I see, that's what, okay. I just want, those are the words that they give. Then for sama. Okay, usually sama is equal or righteous. Actually, righteous is good. Visama might be unrighteous. Look, I mean. Yeah, I think now looking at the passage, righteous and unrighteous are better than harmonious and unharmonious. Okay, please continue. Kamani. Pavatanti. Pavatanti. Right. Kamani. You see, it's a long A. Kamani. And then finish the sentence by taking ayang vuchati. Vuchati. Okay, now translate for us. I will be back. Okay. Okay, do the translation then. According. Yeah, this is actually a technical point. I don't know if... No, here they give the meaning Dhamma Kamma, righteous deeds or activities. And they also give probably Vinaya Kamma. Well, what this means is it's actions that accord with the Dhamma. In other words, virtuous actions or righteous actions, Dhamma Kamma, are virtuous or righteous actions, Adhamma Kamma, are non-virtuous actions or unrighteous actions, actions against the Dhamma. Shine out, or shine forth, shine out. Do not shine forth. And then complete the sentence. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That is a sense, but you see it's...
You say go on. The book is go on for
close. Yeah, because the subject is the actions, righteous or unrighteous actions. So if you want to translate very literally, we have to use a verb which makes the actions the subject. Yeah. In which, so we say, in whichever assembly, say, unrighteous actions occur and righteous actions do not occur. Actions, you say, against the discipline occur, and actions that accord with the discipline do not occur. Then in which unrighteous actions shine forth and righteous actions do not shine forth, in which actions that accord with the discipline, with actions which do not accord with the discipline shine forth, and actions which accord with the discipline do not shine forth. This, O monks, is called the unrighteous assembly. They're nominative, not accusative. No. But of course, actions don't occur by themselves. In this case, it's the monks who engage in these actions who perform them. But that's understood, that's implicit. Grammatically, the subject are the actions. Okay, the next part, Vern Jane? Yeah. Righteous, yeah. Yeah. Yasang. Yeah. 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 Nipavatanti. Right. Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Vuchati. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Go on is plural. Yeah. Do not occur. Do not go on. Unrighteous actions do not occur. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or non-virtuous actions do not shine forth. Do not shine forth. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Actions, yeah. It's plural. Actions. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and then the last sentence. Yeah. Okay, very good translation. Okay, let us go into the verses. Sister Brandy, you like to take one? Appamado. Amatapadang. Yeah. No, it's two C's. The C is pronounced like CH, like church. Machuno. Pamado machuno padang. Yeah. Yeah. Yata mata. Yeah. Okay, verse is somewhat more difficult than prose. Can you understand? You don't know how to make them into sense. Okay. Somebody like to come to her help? Guo Qing? Yeah. Suki? With this? Yeah. Excuse me? Appamado is simply diligence. Let's take the meaning word for word. Apamado is diligence, and it's nominative, right? So it's a subject. Now, amatapadang means, yeah, or amata is the deathless. So amatapadang is past to the deathless. Yeah. No. No. Yeah. Or to the deathless. Okay, diligence is the path to the deathless. You see, you have to understand a verb, so there's no verb, but it's a simple equational sentence. So you put in is, would be hoti. No. But the motto, I prefer negligence. Yeah. And the next? Appamatta. Appamatta. Yeah. How many are there? Right. Yeah. 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 Like the dead. For they are as if dead. Yeah, you see, this is a verse, so it has to be compressed in order to fit the allowed meter. So you would say, yay, this is the way I would spell it out, yay pamata te honti yata mata. Those who are negligent are, they are, like the dead, or they are as if dead. Think you can try the next one too? It's a little tricky, but try it. Nyatva. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's where it's a little distinction. But first, I'd say read the whole verse first, then take it all together. Yeah. 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 Gocharerita. Okay, very good pronunciation. Okay, the meaning? Okay, here it could be a little tricky, so maybe I have to help you with this, with the visesato. Okay, having known this, I think the this here refers to the previous verse, because these verses come, they come together in the Dhammapada. Having known this, here, this is the other function. I mentioned there's another function of this ablative ending, to. To means sometimes from something in ablative sense. It has, the other meaning is having known something as something else. So in this case, let's take another example. We'll take an example. So, rupang anicchato pasati.
He sees form or body as impermanent. And it will go on. So rupang anicchato pasati, dukkato anattato. He sees it as impermanent, as suffering, is non-self. So sometimes we have something like, he perceives the earth as the earth. This is the beginning of the Mula Pariyaya. And here I noticed I was wrong. I said I thought that the toe comes only after the short A, but here I see that it's coming after I. Very he perceives earth as earth. It leads into a complex complex explanation. Eventually we'll come to it in the Majjhima Nikaya.
No, it's saying incorrectly. Yeah, let's not go into an explanation. We're doing Pali, not sutras. So in this case, having seen this, what's stated in the previous verse, as the distinction or excellence, visesa. Visesa means excellence or distinction. Of, in English we would say, of heedfulness or of diligence. But here the Pali uses the locative, having seen this as the excellence in diligence, the wise pandita. Then you go to the next line, pamodanti, the wise delight apamade, they delight in diligence. Then the last line, ariyanang gochare rita. Well, let's say, pamodanti, they rejoice in diligence. Ariyanang gochare rita. Delighted in gochare means range. Literally, it's a pasture. Delighted in the pasture or range of the Aryans, the noble ones. Yeah, I'm coming up. Okay. Rata means delighting, rejoicing. It's here, it's a past participle. Grammatically, it's a past participle. But it's being used not in a past sense, but something which is continuing into the present. Some past participles are used in that sense. And here, before I said rati, rati is the noun from that. We met rati in the previous verse on page 46. Ratiya jayati soko. From rati, from enjoyment, sorrow arises. There, rati was used in a negative sense as being improper enjoyment. But here, rati is being used in the positive sense of taking enjoyment in something good. Okay, so having known this as the excellence of diligence, the wise ones rejoice in diligence, delighted or delighting in the pasture of the noble ones. Diligence is called the pasture of the noble ones. Okay, maybe at this point we will stop. Next time we have to begin with Yu Rong, since she's the only one left out this one today. But she's asking so many questions. Yeah, please ask. Yeah. Oh, it's a locative singular. No, it's a good question. Good to get that. Good. That's genitive, right? Genitive plural. Yes. Gochari. The sphere is also too. Yeah. Sphere is all right too. Right. Apamade, locative singular. No, no. Okay, I want to just go through. Are you into some, maybe people are studying lesson 5, so I'll go through the vocabulary here and just see if there's any changes to make. On page 64, yeah, page 65, nivato, about the middle of the, a little below the middle of the list. Nivato, I would think humility or humbledness is better than modesty or than gentleness. Paritasati, I use agitated, is agitated. Yeah, for bahu satyang, learning is better than knowledge. It comes from bahu plus sutta.
Sutta means heard. Bahu is much.
in the days of the Buddha, there were no printed books. So somebody who was very learned would be somebody who had gone to many teachers and listened to their teachings. And so because he's listened to the teachings, he's somebody who has heard much.
And to make this into, this is Bahusutta would be an adjective qualifying a person. Bahusutto bhikkhu, a learned monk. To make it into learning and strengthen the initial A, it becomes Bahu. And then for reasons that depend on the original Sanskrit form, the sutta turns into Sakchan.
I remember some years ago reading an essay where somebody had written in which he was trying to explain this term, or at least in the essay he mentioned this term, Bahu Satchang. Then he explained it as though it means somebody who has gathered many truths, because Satcha, the word Satcha, can mean truth. Yeah. Excuse me? Yeah. Yeah, I think they're right. But the form Bahusutta has, I'm pretty sure it has two S's. I think maybe in forming the compound is just one S. Okay. Yeah, this word bhavang. Bhavang is a kind of honorific which is used often in relation with the person's name, which means something almost like Mr. Or sometimes it might be translated master. Oh, bhavang, it's forth from the bottom. When it's used with a name, it means something like master or like the honorable Mr. Jones, you might say. I'm not sure if it's used with names in the passages, or you would say this good person, we would say, even when they're speaking about scoundrels, they say that good person, he's still called Bhavang. But when the Brahmins talk about the Buddha, they speak about him as Bhavang Gotamo, Master Gotama. Bhunjati Bhava. It's 66. The word Vannavanta, it's about 12th down, beginning of the V's. Colorful, it could also mean beautiful. I'm not sure how it will be used in the passage. Then I think where they have sangsaro, I think that should be sangsaro with a long A. Sangsaro. The rest seem to be all right. Santo. Yeah. Sakinchino. Yeah, Sakinchino. Santo is one who is fatigued. I'm not sure. I would have to see the sentence where it occurs. But santo, usually it means peaceful, calm. I've just quickly scanned the passages, but I haven't seen the word there. Oh, I see. Santasa, digang santasa yojanang. I guess then in this case, it must mean one who is tired or fatigued. That makes sense. But it's not commonly used in that sense. Okay, any questions? Of course. Aryasavaka. Not necessarily, but it's often used in that sense of being a lay disciple who's very, say, highly accomplished. And remind me next time to give alternative readings to the further readings of Lesson 5. But I think enough for today.